Friday, July 15th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I was reading a review of a new book that's out entitled Jesus Through the Eyes of Women. In this review, they asked a question which I thought was a marvelous question. I thought I would pose it to you. The question from a daughter to her mother, Mommy, why didn't Jesus have any female disciples?
The mother, according to this account, gave the right answer. He did. Now, what he didn't have were female disciples that were capital D disciples, or female apostles who were capital A apostles. Any Christian, male or female, is a disciple. They're a follower of Christ. And in a sense, we're all apostles. The word apostle just means sent ones. It's another word for missionary. So we're all sent ones for Jesus. But there was the capital A apostles who were the foundation of the church, that were given the extraordinary gifts and through whom we receive the word of God. But in terms of just everyday life, yeah, both men and women are disciples. Both men and women are missionaries for Christ. Both men and women are sent ones for Christ. Let's take a look at the life of Jesus. We find out that there was a group of women that were also engaged in supporting his 3-year itinerant ministry. They went with him from time to time, and they also contributed to his support. Some women were freer to be more engaged or had more means to be engaged than others. There's Joanna. Joanna was married to a man by the name of Chuza, who actually was a head servant in the household of Herod, who was the king during the days of Jesus. There was Susanna, who also looks like she was a part of the royal court. There was clearly his mother Mary was found from time to time, following him, listening to him, being there with him. And we're told that Jesus had sisters as well. And then there was Salome, the mother of James and John, two of the disciples. She was found there regularly. Perhaps the most famous of all was Mary Magdalene, who many believe had lived a life of sexual immorality for profit. In other words, she had been a prostitute and was one of the individuals that Jesus appeared to. And then, of course, we can't forget Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. And we know about Mary's devotion to learning from Jesus, Martha's devotion to serving Jesus and others. And we know of Mary, who is the one who anointed the feet of Jesus, preparing him for his burial. But it doesn't end with Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. The Pauline epistles and others referring to some very influential women. Lydia, who became part of the church planting group at Philippi, this businesswoman. And then you have Dorcas. You have Phoebe, the servant in the church. You have all of these names that are there of these women. Now notice the Bible doesn't attempt our today's movement of egalitarianism. Egalitarianism says, well, there's humanity, male and female. But other than some biological differences, men and women are interchangeable. Well, the fact is we're not interchangeable. We're equal, but we're not interchangeable. Equality does not mean sameness. And women are there for leadership, and feminine leadership, while it overlaps with male leadership, is different than male leadership, and you need both. You need a father's leadership for his son and daughter. You need a mother's leadership. And the mother and father, while they have an overlapping identity in leadership, they also have distinctives about their leadership. The same thing's true in the church. We have those qualified men who serve as elders and deacons in the ordained leadership. And then we have what we call the mothers of the church. Remember how in the Old Testament, women are singled out, such as Sarah and others, these godly women. Deborah, a mother of Israel, here throughout the Old and the New Testament. And Israel existed in the midst of all these pagan countries where women were just property. A son was not required to honor his mother. She was there to serve him. In fact, when the husband was gone, and if the children are gone, in many of the cultures, the woman was just left to die because she had served her useful purpose. She was nothing more than property.
Wasn't that why Naomi was so upset?
Exactly. What am I going to do? How am I going to exist? My sons are gone. And her daughter-in-law said, no, we're going to be with you. And of course, we know that Ruth stayed with her. And then God provided for Naomi through Ruth as she became the wife of Boaz. And that is another establishment in the line that ends up with the Messiah coming to redeem us after first leading to Obed and Jesse and then to David and then all the way to Jesus. So you see how the Lord has guided this and protected the line of Christ through four women that are named in the genealogy in the book of Matthew. In Matthew's genealogy of Jesus, you find four women, and of those women, some are Gentiles. Ruth was a Gentile. Bathsheba was a Gentile. Tamar was a woman of immorality, but yet God's grace went to work and used them in both common grace and redeeming grace. And then, Tom, you can't miss the fact, what is the central moment of Christianity? Well, it's the atoning death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Well, who is the last at the tomb? It's the women. Everyone else is gone, but the women are still there. They even watch as Jesus is being laid aside. And they're not only the last ones at the cross and then follow the body to the tomb, they're the first ones at the tomb. They couldn't come on the Sabbath, and then they came, which would have been the third day, as Jesus was buried in the daylight of the day before the Sabbath. So that's one day, and then in the grave on the Sabbath, and then comes forth in the daylight of the next day, which would have been the third day. And they're there. They've come to anoint the body. Now, they aren't thinking about resurrection, but when they get there, they're the first ones to the tomb after the resurrection. So they're the last ones at the cross, the first ones at the tomb. And they are the one who becomes the first witnesses to the resurrection. Go and tell the disciples. And so they become the witnesses. Now, here they are in a society where they couldn't bear witness in a court, but Jesus appointed them as his first witnesses of the resurrection. So we say no to egalitarianism. Men and women are not equal in the sense of sameness and interchangeability. What we embrace is the biblical doctrine of complementarianism. God said it's not good for Adam to be alone, and he made Eve, and therefore Eve came from his side because she comes alongside of him. I've often thought about this, and this is maybe my last thought. In our relationships, the origin of a man is clear. He is to rule over the earth, he is to subdue the earth, and he is to multiply and fill the earth. But it's not good to be alone. He can't do that. But interestingly, what is he made from? The dust of the earth. To multiply and fill the earth, subdue the earth, and to rule over the earth. And then he can't do it alone. So what does God make for him? God makes for him and the task that God had given to him a helper completer. And she comes not from his head, she's not over, not from his feet, she's not under, but from his side. She comes alongside of him. That's complementarianism. Therefore, the women that God has brought into our life, the mothers of the church with their godly leadership, like Phoebe and Dorcas and others, our own mothers biologically or by adoption, our sisters, our wives, they are to be cherished in our hearts because without them, it's not good. We are together. And our standing before the Lord is we're all saved by the blood of Jesus, all filled with the same Spirit, but we are not interchangeable. We are distinctly gifted to serve the Lord. And I praise the Lord for the women that God has used in my life.
As we close out for today and for this week, let me remind you the best way to stay in touch with us is by downloading the Briarwood app. You'll have access to a great number of Christian resources that will assist you in your walk with Christ. To download the app, simply go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. Well, thanks for being with us this week. Have a wonderful weekend. Be sure and join God's people in the worship of our Heavenly Father on Sunday. Then stop by again on Monday for a conversation and a biblical worldview application. as we put the issues of today in perspective.